May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. To Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. Hymn 739.
God, we will read together Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us and help us in prayer. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we bow ourselves before thee this evening, pleading that thou wilt teach us how to pray, that thou wilt guide our minds aright, that we may ask for those things that we stand in need of, which are for thy honour and glory. Do help us, Lord, this evening as we have come into this house of prayer to worship thee. Send us that help that we need. Send us help from the sanctuary. Strengthen us out of Zion. Grant us, Lord, an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit here this evening, we pray. Lord, we ask that our worship might be Spirit-led, that thou lead us into all truth. Grant, Lord, thy gracious influence to be upon us. Overshadow our gathering with thy presence and thy mercy. Deliver us, we pray, from the sinful inclinations of our hearts, from temptation, from distractions. Lord, we pray that thou would overcome us with thy love and thy mercy, and draw us after thee. Grant, Lord, that our needs might be met in the person of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do pray that thou would send forth that teaching spirit, that we may be taught our needs as sinners, that we may know that convincing of our sinnership. Lord, we pray for that personal teaching, that thou reveal to us each our needs as sinners before thee. Lord, we have a judgment day which is becoming nearer and nearer every moment. And Lord, there is no escape. We surely and certainly must all be brought there. And that question is asked, and how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Oh, we do pray that we may be brought into a sense of it, the reality of it, and our needs when we consider it. Oh, that we may be brought to truly consider ourselves in the light and understanding of thy holy word, that we may be brought and it may be used as a measure against us. Lord, that we may see how far short we have come and how far off we are by nature. And Lord, we do pray that our work, that mighty work of grace within, in both the convincing of our sins, but in also that revealing of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be led to him in our needs as sinners. May we be brought to his feet while we are this side of the grave. May there be that confession of our sin. Lord, we pray for that gift of true repentance, that thou wilt renew our hearts. May we know that regeneration within. May we have our desires changed and our affections set on things above. Lord, lift us above the dying things of this life, and may our treasure be in heaven. Lord, we do pray that thou reveal thy Son, and Lord, our personal interest in his work, that all of those things that we read of him in thy word may be sweetly applied to us, to know that he lived, died, and rose again, and now ascended into heaven for us. Do, Lord, then have mercy upon us. Bring those that are dead in sin out of nature's darkness. Lord, shine thy light into their hearts, we pray, and bless them indeed. Lord, we pray that those who have come up seeking for thy forgiveness, Lord, we pray that there may be those that find the witnessing of the Spirit of God in their hearts this evening. Oh, there may be that peace in believing. Oh, there may be that peace which passeth all understanding. And no doubt in their mind and in their heart of what has taken place. Oh, Lord, may there be the answer of peace to those that are maybe seeking a top stone of assurance of their faith, who have come desiring a word from thee. Lord Jesus, we pray that thou wilt speak and grant an ear to hear and a heart to receive. Lord, we pray that that thy word may be made powerful and effectual in the hearts of many. Lord, who build us up in our most holy faith, and grant the gift of faith to those that are yet to receive it. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt increase our faith and our knowledge of thee, and that we may love thee more, trust thee more. And Lord, we pray that we may not be ashamed. Take away our fears. Lord, whisper peace into hearts that are troubled. Lord, do lift up those that are cast down. Do put strength in those that are weak. Oh Lord, we do not know the needs or cases of each, but thou knowest each heart. And Lord, we do pray that it might please thee to deal in love and mercy with each, whatever state or case they are in. Oh, may they know Thee, the only true and living God. Deliver us from our idols, from our besetting sins. Deliver us from the influence of the world around us. Lord, do break the hold that sin and Satan has upon us. O Lord, we pray that Thou grant us the liberty of the children of God, for it's a Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. We would be free from the tempter's power and rage. Oh, we would have liberty in our worship. Oh, we would have access at the throne of grace. Lord, Thou knowest, we come to Thee in all our felt sense of weakness and need. Lord, praying that Thou'd undertake for us, that Thou'd do all that we need. Lord, those that feel unable to come unto Thee, feeling destitute, weak and far off and helpless. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou arise for their help and be as that good Samaritan and come right where they are. Lord, do touch those mountains that are before some, that they may flow down at Thy presence. Make a way, we pray, for those who feel to have the way hedged up. Lord, do make straight those who are walking out crooked things. Grant shoes as iron and brass, and as our days, oh, so may our strength be. Lord, we pray for each of the friends here. Grant them all needed grace that they may continue in thy ways. Grant that grace for those that are continuing or seeking to continue at the throne of grace, maybe coming again and again with the same things, asking for the same things. Lord, we pray that Thou would help them in their asking and in their seeking and in their knocking. Oh Lord, do strengthen them as Jacob was strengthened as he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Oh, so may there be strength within us each, Lord, given by Thee, as we wrestle for those answers. I will not let Thee go except Thou bless me. Be with any with seemingly impossible things, difficult things, hard things. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt grant that grace that we may daily bear the crosses that Thou hast laid upon us. Lord, we pray that we may prove, as the Apostle Paul did, my grace is sufficient for Thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Help us to truly glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Lord, we pray again for our nation. Lord, we live in dark days in many, many respects. We pray, Lord, that Thou remember us as a nation. Oh, that there might be a turning from our idols as a nation. Oh, we pray there might be an outpouring of thy Spirit in this nation. Lord, that thou be pleased to work in the hearts of those that have influence in our country. Lord, that thou would turn the tide of sin and iniquity in our land. Lord, that thou revive the churches and chapels. Lord, that thou pour out thy Spirit up and down this land, that there may be, oh, many wrought upon by thy Spirit. Lord, that there may be many brought to testify of the hope that they have in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray for that cleansing. Lord, do show us where we have sinned. Lord, do revive us as churches, and Lord, as individuals. May there be that reviving, a renewing. Oh Lord, that thou wilt grant that true cleansing of our hearts. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt turn us again, and turn again our captivity. Deliver us, Lord, from the power of sin and Satan. Oh, that thou wilt revive thy work. Lord, that our chapels may be filled with praying, seeking, longing souls. There may be a building up, both here and elsewhere, for thy honour and glory. Lord, do gather in from this congregation into the church. Do establish us in thy truth. Lord, do teach and lead and guide the people here. May there be a witness here of the Lord's work in salvation. May it be said, the Lord hath done great things for them. And may there be that acknowledging, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And so, Lord, we pray, help us here this evening, and as we leave thy house and we go forward in this new week, we pray that thou go with us, abide with us, lead us, direct us, leave us not to ourselves. Lord, do grant us thy continued presence. Lord, do take all fear of the unknown way from us. May our eyes ever be up unto thee. Lord, we ask these things, praying that thou would look in compassion upon us. Send us not empty away. We ask with the forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 991. Emptied of earth I fain would be, the world, myself, and all but thee, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified. Hymn 991.
with me to the chapter we read, Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. With the Lord's help this evening, I will speak to you from verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11 and the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews chapter 11 and the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Paul addresses this epistle, this letter to the Hebrews, and particularly on his mind is the those that have begun in the gospel path. And what a great and an enormous change had taken place in some of these Hebrews. They had previously been serving the Lord under the old covenant, the covenant of works, and in the ceremonial law, and had attended upon the things that were contained in it. And now these things were to be laid aside, and there was to be an entirely new and living way made, and there was a new path for them to walk, and it was in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul comes to the close of the previous chapter in verse 37 and says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." And this is a truth. The just shall live by faith. And he goes on to say, "But if any man draw back," because some had begun and yet had been drawn back into the old Testament ways. "If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And then he goes on to say, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition," who turn aside, and whose end is complete and utter ruin. We are not among them, we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, unto complete and utter ruin, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then he begins this beautiful chapter which we often refer to as the worthies of faith. And he gives us a description of what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith, we're told in another epistle, cometh by hearing, not by seeing, by hearing. And he says, he begins right at creation, right at the first chapter of the Word of God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And you need faith if you are to truly embrace and receive that truth this evening. Now, we all know what we've been brought up to think and to believe, but what do you believe? What do I believe? Concerning the very first chapter of the Word of God. You know, we need faith to truly embrace the truth of creation, don't we? The worlds are framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen all around us in God's creation were not made of things which do appear. And this is a direct contradiction to the current teaching of evolution. And Paul says, by faith we truly understand this. That there's no Big Bang. That there's no evolving of man and all the things that are in this world. That there is no evolution. But there is a creation, something made out of nothing, spoken into being, that the will of God made known. Yes, there is creatures, God's creation, which is multiplying. We can see it in the studies of genetics. But God created the world in which we live. Things we understand, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And then he goes on and he names these Old Testament patriarchs. And he's pointing the reader to faith of these Old Testament patriarchs, beginning with Abel and going on through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. And then he says, these all died in faith. These all died in faith. Well, Abraham, the promises. What's Paul writing of concerning these things? These all died in faith, not having received the promises. What is he speaking of? What promise was he given that he didn't see, realized while he was alive? Not the promise of heaven. No, he's not received. He's not, he has received the gift of eternal life. He's not received the promise of that entry into the city not made with hands, whose builder and maker is God. It's not that promise that's spoken of. What is it? If you think back to when the Lord blessed Abraham, even before Isaac was conceived, we find the Lord gave him promises concerning things that were to come in the future. In Genesis 15, and that chapter begins with the Lord speaking and coming to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And he says to the Lord that he was childless. And this Eliezer of Damascus, his servant, was the one who had a child. And he had none. And the Lord spoke a promise. And the Lord said, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, he shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth and said, "Look toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And then God said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." Oh, this is faith, isn't it? This is faith. An old man, and Sarah old, childless, she was barren. What faith. And he believed in the Lord. What a witness. He believed what the Lord had said, that his seed would be like the stars of the sky. "So shall thy seed be, innumerable shall be thy offspring." And God counted it to him for righteousness. This is the righteousness of faith. Oh, this is, beloved friends, this is where Paul is directing us to look. Abraham, the father of the faithful, who, against hope, believed in the hope that God gave him. Against all the things that were contrary to what God had promised, he was able, by grace, by the faith given to him by God, he was able to look above all of the things that were screaming out and saying that these things won't happen, these things will not be. And his faith had laid hold on what the word of God was. And God gave him yet more. Verse 13, he said unto Abraham, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them." This is speaking of them going down into Egypt. "And they shall afflict them 400 years. You see, beloved friends, with the Lord's help this evening, oh, it's laid on my mind to bring these things before you. Because this is the word of God. And it's fulfilled in all its detail. But Abraham never lived to see it. And yet his faith, the faith that God gave him, the faith that God tried in him, faith that God brought into exercise within Abraham, laid hold of these things and believed them as though they had already happened. They shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Speaking of the end of Abraham's life here below. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. We haven't time this evening to go through all the promises that God gave to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Sarah. But there were promises concerning the land of Canaan and their inheriting of it. Though Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were dwelling in tents as strangers in that land. And then the promise that through the seed of Abraham would come the Messiah. And the promise and the blessings of his coming. And something of the glories of the gospel revealed. And so these things were revealed and reaffirmed and promised to Moses and to others. And yet, we go through the whole of these worthies of faith and we come to the end. All these having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. Oh, the coming of the Lord Jesus, the gospel day, the day of his grace. But these saints of old, we're told, they all died in faith. I read to you the closing part of chapter 10, the just who live by faith. And the just shall die in faith. They live by faith. They die in faith. You know, this is the beauty of the Word of God. That it is God's good pleasure that he'll take a passage of Scripture, a part of his holy Word, and he'll apply it to a Gentile in 2022. This is the power and the wonder and the goodness of God. And this is why the whole of the Word of God is relevant for you and I in the day we live in. There are promises that are given in connection to the civil nation of the Israelites. And God has been pleased from time to time to take a promise and to give it power in the heart someone as they read it or listen to it being read. The sovereignty of God, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit upon the Word of God. These all died in faith. I spoke of faith this morning. And a need of faith. Oh, what need we have. To know something of what it is to live by faith. Oh, but that important thing, that we might die in faith. Balaam, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like his. And yet, where was he? Content to live and make his living and his dwelling among the enemies of God. What things he saw when he was brought by Balak to curse the people of God. What things God revealed to him, was pleased to have recorded in the Word of God and handed down to us many, many generations later. What things came out of his lips concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus, the promise of his coming, and the blessing of the Lord upon his people. So much so that he said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like his. But did he ask? Did he seek? Did he knock? Did he come to the throne of grace as a poor sinner, looking, asking, longing, waiting for the Lord to appear to him personally? Did he have a desire to live the life of the righteous? Oh, there are many that want to die the death of the righteous. Oh, but where's the evidence of a true work of grace within? Oh, which causes them to have this desire to live the life of the righteous. That want that continual felt sense of the Lord's presence, and their cry is, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. May none of us be left to this form of religion, which sees the things of God from afar off, but we're never persuaded of them. We're never persuaded of them. We're never brought to embrace them. And we're never brought to confess that we're strangers and pilgrims in this life. This is the clear mark of the work of grace in the heart of a child of God. There is much sin, but where sin abounded, said Paul, grace did much more abound. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off. In other words, they didn't live to see the fulfilling of the entering in of the children of Israel into Egypt. Jacob did. Isaac didn't. Abraham certainly didn't. And Jacob went down into Egypt in the day of famine when Joseph was there. But he never saw the coming up out of Egypt. And he never was brought into the promised land. And Joseph gave commandment according to where his bones, what should be done with them. And he died before they came up out of Egypt. And Moses was born in Egypt. And he was brought by God and used by God as the instrument in the hands of God to bring the children of Israel up out of Egypt. But Moses never entered into the promised land. But he viewed it, didn't he, from the top of Pisgah. Nevertheless, they believed it wholeheartedly because God had spoken it. Having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, of the promises. Now, you might say, well, what's it got to do with us? We are among those that have. God has provided some better thing. We've got the Gospel Day. We've got the full New Testament, the Revelation. The Lord Jesus has come. In what sense then? How does this apply to us in 2022? These all died in faith. This is the vital point for you and I. And these things, oh, that you might be wrought upon by God to seek at the throne of grace. Lord, give me this faith. Lord, give to me this gift of faith. Lord, give to me the faith of the woman this morning with the issue of blood. Give to me the faith of Abraham in some measure that when I'm given, I read a promise of something that is promised by God to do, that he will do, that my faith may lay hold of it and believe it. Oh, give me these persuasions. This faith that persuades. When everything else is saying something else, circumstances. Give me the faith of Abraham, that Abraham had as he laid Isaac on the altar. And he had to offer up his only begotten son. And he laid him on that altar. And what did he say on the way up? When Isaac said, "See, here is wood and fire. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" What did Abraham say? "God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb." And Abraham went up and he bound Isaac and he took that knife in his hand and he was determined. Because God had said, "Take thy son, thine only son, and offer him for a burnt offering. Oh, that we might have some faith like this. You say, that's extreme. That's extreme, isn't it? Well, beloved friends, oh, what a thing. What need we have of faith. Oh, that we might know something of it. As a measure of this faith. That believes that though Isaac should be burnt to ashes on that altar, that still his seed would be as innumerable as the stars in the sky. Oh, there is faith to be prayed for. May God lay it on your hearts to seek for faith, and may you not be fearful, those of you who you know the Lord has given you a measure of faith. You're not without faith this evening. May you not be fearful of the trial of that faith. May you not shrink from it. But may you be believing as you read the accounts in God's word of his workings in the lives of his people. And may it clearly shine into your heart that he tries faith not to remove it, not to extinguish it, not to bring it to nothing, but that it might grow more and more and more. And it is in this way that God increaseth our faith. It is every trial and every subsequent deliverance wherein we see the crumb of faith that we have swell ever so slightly. It is this which strengthens and builds our trust in God. These all died in faith. If you die in faith, you die on safe ground. Faith in Jesus Christ, that is who is revealed in our day in the gospel. What a privilege. What good thing. God having provided some better thing, we have the name of his dear and only begotten Son. And he is the object of God-given faith. He is the anchor ground of our hope. It is Jesus Christ. Oh, it is faith in him. And we are in our text this evening, we're told they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And so every child of God, as they die in faith, they die having not seen some of the promises. They have a good hope. They have a good hope. A sure and certain hope. That their sin is put away. But they're not at the judgment seat until they have passed through the article of death. Oh, the hope, under the power of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a believer, is sure and certain. And Paul uses expressions like the full assurance of faith. But it's still not seen in the realizing of it. In the realization of it. You and I, we're to close our eyes on everything we know. and everything we see, and we're to pass through the article of death. Oh, to die in faith, dying in a body of sin, maybe looking back over our lives and seeing many sins and many failings on our part. But to have faith fixed on the promise. Oh, that he has lived and died and rose again. How can you die? How can you face death? Except your eyes are fixed on Jesus, who has lived, died, and rose again. And the Saviour lives no more to die. He's gone on before every one of his people. He's tasted death for every one of them. And he's persuaded them of their interest in his death. In your own time, read. Read Romans. Read Romans chapter 4. Speaking of Abraham and his faith, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And the Lord has promised to deliver his people from their sins, save them with an everlasting salvation. He cried, "It is finished." He shed his precious blood. And he's cleansed them all from their sin. And he's lived a life that is acceptable to the Father. And there's a good, sure, certain hope of this robe of righteousness that is theirs, of his providing, waiting to be put on them, that they might stand in heaven at last, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Oh, if your heart goes out after these things, pray the Lord will persuade you of the reality of it, that you may die expecting it, believing it will be, persuaded. May he bring it so close to you that you're able to embrace it, that your faith will embrace it, as you embrace a loved one here below. This is the relationship, beloved friends, that we're to pray for, to seek for. The reality, this closeness, that we might embrace. You can't embrace something without it coming close. You can't embrace a loved one except they come close to you. And they were persuaded of them and embraced them. That the promises came in such a reality to them that they were embracing them. Oh, may the Lord bring these things in such a real way to us each that we truly know what it is to embrace these promises. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims. Oh, these persuasions. We must close. Time is gone. But Paul, again, in your own time, read Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded. And what does he begin with? That neither death. He doesn't begin with life. He begins with death. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a reality, isn't it? Oh, that we might be able, by grace and faith and the mercy of God, embrace these things. Take them to ourselves and, oh, may the Lord apply them. Bring them to us, that we might be receiving these things into our hearts. Having this closeness to the promises of God. And that we might be brought to confess them. Again, we must close. Romans 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, who he is, what he's done for you as a sinner, what he means to you, how he is your all and in all, the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, may God be pleased to bring us so that we may truly sing the language of Hymn 96, Now I Have Found the Ground Wherein My Anchor Hope Shall Firm Remain. Oh, may God so bless us with an outpouring of his love and mercy, and give us this faith that we can not only live by it day by day as sinners in a dying, sinful world, but that we may be brought to die in this faith, in the sweet and full assurance of it, knowing that all is well while life endure, and well when called to die. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. May God add his blessing. Amen.
The collections today are of the Trinitarian Bible Society Auxiliary in West Anglia. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and would the praying members come prepared to give out a hymn, please. And Mr. Tim Parrish will kindly preach for us again on Tuesday evening, as Mr. Field is too unwell to come. And next Lord's Day he will preach for us again, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon again, and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Our closing hymn is number 70. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast, my Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Hymn number 70.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.